Well, I appreciate all the good singing, good testifying tonight, the presence of God. I'll preach a few minutes tonight. If you turn with us to 2 Samuel chapter 18, and I'll be honest with you, the message I'm going to preach tonight has sometimes a message will just line up with a service, and sometimes it won't have a thing to do with the service. You know that. It'll just be a completely different direction. But tonight, just this is what the Lord gave me to preach, and so I pray it'll be a help to all of us. I'm glad to be, like Brother Laddie said, I'm glad to be in church on Wednesday night. Amen. And I'm glad to be in this church on Wednesday night. I'd rather be no other place than the house of God. And a lot of people don't see it important to be at church on Wednesday night. There have been a lot of times, if it wouldn't have been for a Wednesday night service, I wouldn't even be here tonight. But God has used services like this to help and to pull us through. And I appreciate you being faithful. 2 Samuel chapter 18. If you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God and prayer, we'll let you stretch your legs and then bring the message after we pray. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 19. The Bible said, "Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zodak, let me now run and bear the king's tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zodak, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain, and out overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter, and said, Behold, another man running along. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zodak. And the king said, He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man safe, Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as the young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept as he went up. And thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Father, Lord, thank you for the word of God tonight. We ask you now to give us liberty, and we ask you to speak to us, and may you be glorified, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I have just a simple message that the Lord gave me this afternoon, one that I think a lot of times would just simply be preventive maintenance. I don't really think tonight that the message that I'm preaching would be something that those of us here tonight would be guilty of, but at the same time, in the society and the world that we live in today, it is certainly something that we need to be reminded of. And so when we come to this text tonight, I want you to note here that there is a work to be done. We know that the king's son has died now, and there is a task that is before Joab and before these tiding bearers here. He is going to send a message, and so there is a work to be done. There is a witness that is going to be directed. Joab is going to choose a man to go and to bear tidings to the king here, and there's a word that must be delivered. In other words, it's really not about Joab, and it's really not about the runner, but it's all about the king and his son and getting the message that needs to be delivered here. So when we come to this text tonight, there's two problems in this text here. The first problem is that there is a problem concerning the son Absalom. We know that Absalom has died. Absalom is dead. Joab is responsible for the death of Absalom. As the Bible said, he put those darts in the heart of Absalom and they took him down and they stoned him and they slung him in a pit. So Absalom is dead. That is the first problem in this text here. There is a problem concerning the son Absalom. And then there is a second problem that I want to preach on tonight concerning the servant Ahimaaz here. Ahimaaz in this text here, this is the second problem. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, the problem is that Ahimaaz is a good person. He is a soldier. He is a tiding bearer. He is a good man serving in a good position. He is serving on the right side. He is serving in the king's army. I would say about Ahimaaz that he is serving the right king, serving David. Isn't that right? He is serving in the Israelite army. He's fighting for the right cause and he's fighting for the right person. But the problem in this text here, he is not a bad person in and of himself, but the problem in this text here is it's not his day to run. Amen? It's not his day to bear tidings. Listen, it's a different day. There's a different message to be delivered here. But Ahimaaz inserts himself and wants to run. He has a desire. He has an ambition to run. The problem is Joab wants to send Cushai, and rightfully so. The problem is that it is not his day. But in spite of all of that, he insists of running anyhow. You see, the real problem in this text here is that Ahimaaz is not willing to just simply stay in his lane. Amen. I want to preach on that subject tonight on learning to stay in your lane. Learning to stay in the place that God puts you. Learning to serve in the position that God has put us in, and learning to just be who God wants us to be at the appointed time that God wants us to serve. Amen. You see, that is the text here. Now, I want you to notice this in this text here. Notice a few things, and we'll just be through. I want to say, I think the reason that this message tonight is important to all of us is because we live in a society where everybody just inserts themselves in everybody else's business. Can I get a witness right there? I think you'll agree that's the problem with social media, is people knows too much about too many people's life, and people's got too many opinions about too many things, and people voice those opinions in too many ways, when to be honest, the Bible teaches this, that we are to study to be quiet, to do our own business, and to work with our own hands as the Lord commands us. You see, it's not the will of God for me to know everybody. Amen. It is not the will of God for me to be connected within everybody. I think that's the problem with social media. I think it's also the problem with texting. Can I get an amen right there? You see, I don't fill my day, nor you're supposed to fill your day, trying to see how many people we can connect with. Amen. We are only supposed to be connected with the people that God puts in our life and the way that God wants them to be in our life. You remember the days when we grew up and you went to work and you went to school and you went to church and you came home. And you went back to work and you went back to school and you went back to church and you came home. And you didn't know what everybody had and you didn't know what everybody was doing. Because, listen, it was either, you know, you had to get on the gossip stick. We don't even preach against gossip sticks no more. Amen. Because it's not a couple old ladies sitting on the phone for an hour talking about everybody's business in the neighborhood. Now, listen, it's a younger generation and a middle-aged generation that thinks they're experts at everything that goes on and has opinion about everything. You know, the older I get, the more I realize people don't really care what I think about anything. Amen. You didn't come tonight to hear what I think about something. You didn't come tonight to hear how many accomplishments I have and I don't have any in life, but you didn't come tonight to learn more about me or to hear about me. You come to hear from God, to hear from heaven. Amen. I'm not supposed to keep up with everybody. I'm not supposed to compare myself to everybody. I'm not supposed to know everything about everybody. I'm telling you, I have enough problems just knowing what I know about me, let alone knowing more about you. Amen. I'd rather just come to church, have church, go home and live our life. Can I get an amen right there? And just learn to stay in our lane. Young people, get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight. Because you're being bombarded with information about people's lives and things. And it's bled into our churches today. People don't know how to, they don't know how to stay in their lane. You know, you have a pastor, you have deacons, you have a pastor's wife, you have members. I'm seeing more and more as I go places how people don't know how to just be who they're supposed to be, even in a local church. A lot of times I see it in churches where women want to rise up and be the leader in the church. Amen. I'm talking about it. They don't want to be the deacon. They don't want to be the pastor, but they want to take the pastor's wife position. That's not a problem here, and it's never going to be a problem here. Amen. It's not a problem with you ladies tonight, and I appreciate that about you. But I'm telling you, you got to hammer everything nowadays. Amen. Because it may come walking through the door the next service. Amen. I'm telling you, you need to be aware of that as much as anything. Amen. I'm just saying, I see it amongst young preachers. Amen. They come in. We don't have that problem here. Not going to have it. Amen. And before you know it, amen, they don't know how to stay in their lane. All of a sudden, they got a pastor, two or three or four families inside the church. Amen. And not listen, they one pastor. Can I get a witness right there? I'm telling you, spirit-filled people know their place. They know how to be in it. Well, let's look at this for a few moments tonight and be done. I want you to see, first of all, the runners in this text. I want you to compare these two runners. Let's look at Ahimaaz here in this text here. Notice his promotion in verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zodai, let me now run. Now the problem with that text is he's not being appointed, he's inserting himself. You could look at that as volunteering, but and we thank God for volunteers tonight, but Ahimaaz, he wants to run. He wants to be the one that is responsible for taking these tidings to the king here. He is self-promoting himself here as he comes to Joab. He knew who to go to. He knew who the influencer was. He knew what the one was that was going to make the decision. I want to say tonight, if you and I are ever going to be used from God, by God, we're going to have to let God put us in the places that he wants us to be in. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Sammy say this years ago. He said, if you put yourself out there, you'll have to keep yourself out there. But he said, if God puts you out there, then he'll keep you out there. You don't have to worry about it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anywhere I'm not supposed to be. I don't want to be doing anything I'm not supposed to be doing. Amen. I'm talking about even in this church as the pastor. It's not God's will for me to be doing everything in the church, amen. There are things that other people need to do. There's other things that people need to be responsible for. And just because you're the pastor, that doesn't mean you get to pick and choose. You say, well, Brother Gravely, what do you do? I only want to do what God wants me to do in this church. I see his promotion. The problem here is Ahimaaz says that little two-letter word that gets him in trouble. Let me now run. His promotion, his perspective. Why would he want to run? Look at verse 19. And bear the king tidings. Here it is. How that the Lord had avenged his enemies of his, the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. You see, Ahimaaz wanted to be the one to tell David the good news that the enemies had been defeated. Amen. He just wanted to be the one. He wanted to bear that good tidings. He wanted to tell David. But really on this day, the king is not worried about his enemies. Amen. The king is not worried about a victory. Amen. The king is worried about his son. Amen. And Ahimaaz doesn't know that. You see, when you and I promote ourselves or put ourselves in a situation, that's always the case. There are things and perspectives that we do not know. Amen. Just some things that God doesn't always show us. Have you ever seen something take place in church and say, I wonder why preachers did that or didn't do that? Because there's another side to that. There's a perspective here. He thought that it was all about good tidings. He thought it was all about victory. His perspective. That's why when I go in a church and I maybe I see something in a church that I know is not right. But I don't pastor that church. I don't know. You say, well, Brother Gravely, what if it's compromised? Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know where those people are at. I don't know what that pastor's dealing with. I don't know what he's facing. And God didn't send me in there. Somebody said to me one time, said, you don't preach at other churches like you do at your own church. I said, well, there's a little half-truth in that. I said, no. I said, listen, I still preach the Word of God and I still preach on sin when I go to other churches. But I said, no, I do say some things in my pulpit. I'm not going to say some words else. I said, because number one, I pastor that crowd. Number two, they know me well and they understand where I'm coming from, where some crowds you've never been to may not know. And so I said, and I'm not the pastor of that church, amen. I mean, listen, you know something, and it changes your perspective, amen. I see his perspective. I see his pressure. Look at verse number 22. Joab's already tells him in verse number 20, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. Joab, he tells Ahimaaz, you're not put on the shelf. You're just not going to do it today. Look what he said in verse 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zodai, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. He's trying to pressure Joab into doing what he wants to do. You know, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? People will pressure their way into positions. They'll pressure their way. You see it on the job. I'm sure it happens on the job. You know, somebody comes around and they start sucking up to people, you know. And is anybody with me tonight, or am I on Mars while I'm preaching? They just go around and start sucking up to people, you know, and you know, they start trying to be, you know, the number one, you know, and when you know how when they're sucking up and they're not giving a good day's work, they're always dogging everybody else out, you know, and they're always, you know, bringing the boss coffee and bringing the boss whatever they got to, you know, all that. You know what that, they're trying to insert themselves. It happens even in churches, even amongst preachers. You know, when it comes to finding the will of God at a church, go like as a pastor, a preacher, you know, send all you preachers. You wait for God to put you in a church. You don't politic to get in a church. That's not how you get a position. You let God put you there. His pressure. Then notice his pride. I pray thee also, look at this. He said in verse 22, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. You know, there's something in his heart that to the fact that Cushai is getting to do something that he wants to do. You know, God will do that in all of our life. He's going to let us be second, or sometimes he's going to let us be left out for our own good. Amen. There's just times when God puts us in that place. Why is that? It's to keep us where we need to be at. Amen. Listen, when you think about this, when you come to verse 22, Joab says, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? Why do you want to run, Ahimaaz? You don't have anything to say when you get there. But it doesn't matter. Amen. He wants to prove something. He wants to show that he can do something, that he can do it even better than the one that is doing it. And so, you know, that's not right. Amen. And here we find this individual here. He's a good man, but his motive is really wrong in this text. Because it started out just about Ahimaaz. But once he finds out he's not going to get to run and Cushai is going to get to, now it's about him and another brother. Oh, we got to be careful tonight that our running is not in vain. I want you to think about the other runner here by the name of Cushai. Well, you say, well, preacher, what do we know about him? Well, if you look at verse 21, he's silent in the text. He doesn't say anything. In fact, Cushai doesn't say anything until you get to verse 31. He just submits to Joab and he goes. He runs. And when you see Cushai beginning to speak, he's speaking in the presence of the king. He's still, in verse 21 of this text, he's not arguing. He's not trying to promote himself. He's not trying to put himself out there. He's just being who he's supposed to be. You know, it's as important to remain as it is to run. Amen? And Cushai is just staying in his place. He's just being steadfast. And then finally, he is sent in our text. Joab, in verse 21, speaks to Cushai and says, go tell the king what thou hast seen. Why does Cushai get to go? And he does, and Ahimaaz don't. Well, for starters, Cushai was a witness to what had took place. He saw it firsthand. And so it's not about who's the best. It's not about who's the fastest. It's not about who can do a better job. It's about what Joab thinks is best. And so Joab is the one in leadership. So Joab puts Cushai on the run. He is sent. Not only the runners, but secondly, I want you to notice the race. When we get to verse number 23, notice the Ahimaaz in verse 23. He's faster. The Bible said, but howsoever said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain, and he overran Cushai. He's faster. He's a faster runner than him. You know, I'm glad that God, he doesn't put us in places because we're the best. Isn't that right? David wasn't the best amongst Jesse boys. He was the one that was chosen. He was the least. You know who the best is? It's always the one God chooses. You see, David was not the best, but David gave his best. And when it comes to serving God, it's not about, well, who can play better, who can sing better, who can preach better, who can do whatever better. No, it's not about who's the best, amen. It's about who can give their best, amen. And it's about, and you say, well, I'm giving my best. Yes, but it's who those that God puts in leadership and lays on their heart to choose. I remember starting out preaching, and you'd go to revival meetings and you wished you was the one doing the preaching. Now you go to revival meetings and you wish somebody else was doing the preaching sometimes. He's faster. He's first. Look at verse 24. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate on the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running along, the first one. You know who it is, don't you? It's Ahimaaz. There's a race going on. The only problem with this race is Cushai doesn't know it's a race. Cushai gets sent, he takes off, he's got tidings, he's a man on a mission. He's not trying to be first, he's not trying to be last. He's just trying to do what he's been called to do, and that's get a message to the king, amen? He's not competing with a brother. As far as he knows, there's not a finish line. The only finish line is to get where the king's at, amen? I'm going to tell you the only finish line for every one of us is to get where the king is, amen? It's not about who's first. It's not about who's faster. I'll tell you how many has got a different goal in mind. His goal is to outrun his brother. His goal is to get there first. His goal is to steal his thunder and let the king know what he thinks the king needs to know. Boy, I could preach an hour, but I don't think you could take it tonight. Hey, get a hold of this. It's not about who's first, is it? It's not about who's fastest. It's not about who's fulfilling. You can look at verse 25. He fulfills. The watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. Now, there was tidings in Ahimaaz's mouth. But the tidings he had is not the tidings that the kings needed. You see, just because people can talk a good talk and say good things, and those things may even be right, what he said was right. But it wasn't his place. It wasn't his lane. He got out of his place. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to stay in the lane God puts me in. I don't want to try to outdo a brother. I don't want to try to be bigger or better. Not that I even could be. But then he is famous. Look at verse 27. The watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zodai. And the king said, oh, he's a good man and cometh with good tidings. Amen. You see, there's a bit of deceptions. David's heart all of a sudden began to get hopeful because of who was coming. And that's why Joab did not want him to go. He didn't want to give a false hope to the king here. And the king said, if he's coming, there's going to be some good tidings in his mouth. Amen. And all of a sudden he got the hope and of the king. Oh, he was known for his running. Let me just stop and say this. I mean, it happens amongst preachers. It happens amongst members. It happens amongst singers. Amen. You and I have got to be careful that we don't try to make a name for ourselves. Amen. Not even in the church. So I just want to be known for this. No, don't want to be known for anything. Don't want to be known for anything. Well, I just want people to know that I'm this person in the church. No, listen. We're one body tonight. Is that right? We're one body tonight, and I don't want the church to be about me, and I don't want the service to be about me. I don't want church to be about you. We want church to be all about him. Isn't that right? That I may know him. Amen. We want to come to church and know more about him. Amen. We don't want to emphasize us. Amen. We don't want a reputation. I want to keep a testimony. Do you know what a real testimony is? It's not even about the person. It's about Christ in that person. I don't want a reputation tonight. You know what reputations are? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Reputations are exhausting to try to keep up. Amen. You know, some pastors, I mean, you could send them a text and in less than 60 seconds you get a text back. That's a reputation. I'm not one of them. I can tell you tonight, it's a whole lot easier to live in my world than it is to live in their world. In fact, I reckon I do have a reputation. He'll get back with you in 3 days. Amen. Well, you know what I say to that one? 3 days, there's a resurrection. Amen. And so thank God I'll resurrect in 3 days. Just hold on. Amen. But I'm saying reputations are exhausting. When you do things to just be doing them and you don't do them out of a pure motive and a pure heart, you say, well, Brother Gravely, how do you know the difference? When you don't care if you're known, when you don't care if you're seen, and you do it for the glory of God, amen, then, my friend, it takes all the pressure off. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in life. Can I just be honest with you? I'm not starting them because I'm not going to maintain them. Amen. There's a lot of things in life I'm not going to keep up with. Amen. Man, somebody said to me, they said, you ever check Messenger? I said, man, if you're sending me a message on Messenger, listen, there's probably there's not even a 10% chance that I'm going to go to Messenger and find out. I mean, you might as well write a note and tie it to a pigeon's leg and send it and hope it stops at 202 Wilder Avenue. Amen. You say, why? Because it's just one more thing for me to let somebody down in. Amen. I mean, we got text messages. We got social media. We got emails. And now we got Messenger. And who knows what else we got going on. Amen. I mean, it's just too much. Amen. And I watch people sometimes. Can I be honest with you? I'm talking about church people. I watch people exhaust themselves. Do you realize tonight there's a lot of things that people could stop doing tonight? And I'm not telling you stop it, but the Holy Spirit tells you ought to. There's a lot of things people could quit doing tonight. It wouldn't change the world one bit. But it'd change your world. It'd take the pressure off. Amen. I'm either on a different planet tonight, or I'm right on the Coons Trail right now. But I'm telling you, the problem is he was exhausting himself running to a point that had no purpose. I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing tonight, that the purpose in mind pleases the King. Amen. I'd rather just be still. Ahimaaz would have been a whole lot better off just staying where Joab told him to stay than running himself to death over that hill and getting to the king in the end just because he was known for his running. Then I want to say Cushai, he's second in verse 23, but he's seen in verse 26. Look at this. He's second in verse 23. Ahimaaz outrun him. But you notice something about verse 26? And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And look, and the king said, he also bringeth tidings. Brother Danny, that helped me because Cushai's second. He's not first. He's not faster. But he's still doing what he's supposed to be doing. And you know something? The king saw him even though he wasn't first. You know, I'd just rather do what God wants me to do. Just stay in the lane God put me in. Others may not see me. Others may outrun me. Others may pass me by. but the king will still see. Is that what matters? When we get to the end of this text, there's only two people that matters in this text, and it's not Cushai and it's not Ahimaaz. You know who it is? It's the king and his son. That's the only two people that matters in this text. You know the only two people that's going to matter when we get to the end of the way? It ain't going to be me and it ain't going to be you. It's going to be the king and it's going to be his son. It's all about the king and his son here. It's going to be all about the king and his son there. I'm telling you, the race, he's second. He's not. You know, if you're here tonight and you're serving God, young people, you listen to me. Don't get caught up in this world that we live in. People's going to do things better than you. Some people's going to be, they're going to make more noise than you're going to make. They're going to be louder, just like Ahimaaz. They're going to go to people that's got influence. They're going to push their way through until they get ahead of you. Okay? Go ahead and let them. Just run in the lane God puts you in. Because the king will see you running. He sees you being faithful on a Wednesday night. He sees where you're at. And then finally, look at the results and we'll be done. You see, Ahimaaz doesn't have the right answer about the situation. Look at verse 28. We know that because Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. But it wasn't. All was not well. He was so caught up in himself and wanting to give a good message. The first thing out of his mouth, all is well. He's wrong about, didn't have the right answer about the situation. He didn't have the right answer about the son, because David looks at him in verse 29 and said, is the young man safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. He doesn't have the right answer about the situation. He doesn't know what to say about the king's son. He doesn't know if he's safe or not. He doesn't have the right answer even about the servant, because he says, when Joab sent the king's servant and, look at this, me, thy servant. Boy, Ahimaaz was all about me, wasn't he? He didn't say, here's the situation. David is, he doesn't care about the people running. He doesn't care if there's one messenger. He doesn't care if there's two messengers. He doesn't care about the enemies right now. He's not worried about who's against him. He's not worried about a victory. He only wants to know about his son. And in the midst of that, Ahimaaz still wants to talk about me. I want to say this. Some people know how to make more about themselves than anyone else. He did not have to put me in there, but he was sure to do it. You ever notice that? If you want a reward in heaven, do something and don't let anybody know about it. And great will be your reward. But if you want to lose a reward and let it turn to ashes, do something and make sure people know what you did. In some way, some subtle way, you mark it down, that good deed went to ashes. Amen. Tonight we have to be careful. He had the wrong answer about himself. Tonight, Cushai in this text, look at verse 31. He's faithful in his arrival. Verse 31, behold, Cushai came. He did what he wasn't first, but he showed up, didn't he? He came. He ran the pace. He stayed in his lane and he showed up. And he was faithful in his arrival. He was faithful in his answer. He said, Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all that rose up against thee. You know, I just kind of want to throw a song book at Ahimaaz. Y'all pray for me. I mean, he just had, because he was faster. Brother Caleb, he just had to outrun Cushai and get there, make sure the king knew before anybody else did. Had to be the one. Y'all know anybody like that? Had to be the one to tell it first. David didn't care. The king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? He was faithful in his answer to him. He said in verse 32, he gave him the answer, and Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as the young man is. Now here's the truth of this text. He didn't tell the king what he wanted to hear, but he told him what he needed to know. And I'll say this in closing tonight as they come and get us a song ready. I just want to be faithful, don't you, to stay in the lane God put me in. It doesn't matter. I don't have to. You know, it takes a lot of pressure off when you just say, you know what, I'll let somebody else tell that first. I don't got to be the reporter. I don't got to be the one, Brother Jeremy. When word gets out, I mean, sometimes you as a pastor, I know you have to tell things first. I get that. But it sure takes the pressure off when you just let somebody else go ahead and blab it first. Sometimes people say, did you know about such and such? I know about it. But the Bible said, he that's of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Amen. Just talking about staying in our lane. See, preacher, is that a big deal? I know churches tonight that can't, they're hindered because they got one or two people can't stay in their lane. I know churches tonight, they're tore apart because of it. I'm telling you tonight, probably it's a message that ought to be preached everywhere. Because this younger generation don't even realize what it's like to just get up and do what God's called you to do and forget the rest of the world. I don't mean with the gospel. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about where everybody else is going. Don't feel like you got to be connected to everybody that you come in contact with. You know, there are people tonight out of church. There are people tonight whose marriages are broken up. The list could just keep going on. You know where it all started? They got on social media one day and just scrolling down through there. Who can I meet? Who can I hook up with? Who can I connect with? I'm telling you tonight, just because you can know somebody don't mean you're supposed to know somebody. Amen. Better let God put people in your path. Well, I know somebody that knows somebody. I saw somebody at a meeting and I saw that person over there and they knew a friend of mine, so I'm supposed to know. No, you may not. That may be the worst person you could ever meet in life. They could ruin you. You let God bring people in your life. Let's stand tonight. If you need to use the altar while we sing, what page?